On Friday's page one, President Obama says the facts are on his side in the suspected Iranian plot to kill a Saudi diplomat in Washington. We'll look at a new twist in the insurance wars. People with eating disorders are fighting for stays in residential treatment centers. And it's so hard to get into college in India that students who don't make it end up at Ivy League schools in this country. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says President Obama said officials at the highest levels of government in Iran have to be held accountable for the plot to kill the Saudi ambassador to Washington. The president was trying to quiet doubts about whether Iran's Islamic government directed an Iranian-born car salesman to hire a Mexican drug cartel to kill the diplomat. State Department officials said the U.S. had been in direct contact with Iran. The president said the administration had also reached out to allies to make its case. He said he's confident they'll believe the U.S. version once they take in the details. The hedge fund billionaire at the center of the biggest insider trading case in Wall Street history was sentenced to 11 years in prison. Times reporter Peter Latman says it's a milestone in the government's campaign to root out illegal exchanges of financial information.
The sentence imposed on Raj Rajaratnam is the latest in a trend of increasingly stiff sentences for white-collar criminals. Over the past couple of years, we've seen tougher and tougher sentences meted out to both criminals in corporate America and on Wall Street. A judge sentenced Bernie Madoff to 150 years in prison last year, and just recently, Lee Farkas, a mortgage executive, was sentenced to 30 years in prison. Now we're seeing with insider trading, which has been rampant on Wall Street, judges assessing double-digit penalties, which previously had never happened. While the 11-year sentence lacks the symbolic heft of the 20-year sentence that the government was originally seeking, it is expected to send a message to Wall Street that those who commit insider trading will be caught and will be punished severely.
Times reporter Peter Latman. Judge Richard Hallwell also fined Rajaratnam $10 million and ordered him to forfeit $53 million in profits. It's the latest sign the White House is nervous about holding a key industrial state going into next year's elections. The president also hopes to use Michigan for something that may be more essential for re-election, and that is making the case that government can work. He sees the auto industry bailout as a rebuttal to the Tea Party's claim that government intervention tends to be counterproductive. People with eating disorders like anorexia have opened a new front in the insurance wars. They're fighting insurance companies to pay for stays in residential treatment centers. In August, an appeals court in California ruled insurance companies had to cover eating disorders the way they'd cover serious mental illnesses. Blue Shield of California is already moving to have the case reheard. It says the decision could force payments for nearly unlimited treatment. France dropped the rape case against Dominique Strauss-Kahn. Prosecutors there say he sexually assaulted a French writer in 2003, but that's too long ago to bring him to trial. That was a legal victory, but a moral embarrassment for the former head of the International Monetary Fund. Strauss-Kahn had been charged with attempted rape here in New York back in May. Those charges were later dropped because prosecutors had doubts about the woman who made the accusation. Among other things, they said she lied on her asylum application. It's getting tougher to get into top colleges in India. The students who don't make it are coming to the U.S. About half of India's 1.2 billion people are under the age of 25, and the middle class is growing. That's overwhelmed the handful of first-rate universities there. Delhi University turned down 18-year-old Mulshree Mohan, despite a cumulative score of 93.5 on her final high school exams. Eight colleges in this country accepted her. She's now at Dartmouth. Inside Friday's Times, how they're coping in Uganda. The economy there has been in free fall since April. Prices for things like gasoline have more than doubled. The economic headaches have sparked an urban protest movement that's now the longest in sub-Saharan Africa, with many Ugandans saying they're drawing inspiration from the Arab Spring. Scientists digging deep in a cave in South Africa found signs of a paint factory. The 100,000-year-old workshop is apparently the earliest example of how modern humans processed the reddish pigment known as ochre. They had stone tools for pounding and grinding it. They may have put the concoction on their skin for protection against the sun. Friday's Business Day section says there's a backlash against the new contract at Ford. So far, about 55% of the workers who voted have voted against the deal. Workers are upset that they haven't gotten a raise in years, but Ford's top two executives each got $26 million last year. American cattlemen are finding homes on a new range. They're sending bulls and heifers to Russia. Trade restrictions mean ranchers can't always export frozen meat, but they can send bulls and heifers out for breeding. Sometimes the ranchers themselves go along. Drought in Texas has driven up cattle prices at the same time a decline in the dollar's value has helped American exports generally. And you may not recognize the name Dennis Ritchie. I didn't, but somewhere in the computers that record our podcast, and somewhere inside whatever's at your end, your smartphone or your computer, something Dennis Ritchie came up with is probably helping make this happen. Computer scientist Brian Kernahan says the tools Ritchie built and their direct descendants run pretty much everything these days. Ritchie was found dead in his home in New Jersey. He'd been in frail health lately. He was 70 years old. That's our preview of Friday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. You can send your comments about the Front Page Podcast to podcasts@nytimes.com. That's podcasts with an S on the end at nytimes.com. From our newsroom in New York, I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.